brought to you by bedroombattlefield.com. This is the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast, and it's the end of the month slash start of the new month, which means it's accountability time. So regular monthly hobby updates are kind of replacing, for the time being anyway, our question of the month feature. So the concept is still the same. You know, there's the voice feedback, voicemail feature on the site at bedroombattlefields.com/voicemail. And I'm just inviting people to send me a wee message and update me, and update all the rest of the listeners as well, on what they've been up to hobby-wise over the last 30 or so days. So we're going to find out what everyone's been up to during the month of September 2025, and then I'll catch up with you at the end and see if I've been up to anything myself. Let's get into it.
Hello, Matthew and podcast listeners. This is Johan, TEG Jeeves from the Discord, calling in for this month's question of the month, which is continuing our hobby app updates. First of all, I really enjoyed the last hobby update episode. I think many people can agree that that was really interesting and great to hear what other people are doing. Really kind of inspiring. And it also inspired me to continue on with my hobbies and keep myself a little bit, I give myself a little bit motivation to continue on with some of the many projects that I'm busy with. I'll try and keep this relatively short, just to give you a quick update. Right after our last, episode, I did manage to play a game of Age of Fantasy one from One Page Rules with a friend of mine. We played 750 points of Skaven versus Wood Elves. He had a beautifully painted Wood Elf army, which is 3D printed with the minis from One Page Rules. He did a great job. And I had my Skaven, which I previously mentioned, which I touched up. You know, having a game planned coming up is always a good motivator to go back and sort of clean up some miniatures, finish up some that you haven't finished up yet. Maybe clean up paint job, maybe add a little bit of detail to the basing, spruce them up. So that's what I did just before, and had a great game. We had a really interesting scenario with this living tree in the middle of a forest, which was one of the objectives, and then two other objectives. And we had to capture and hold the objective as long as we could, scoring points every round. But then at the third and the fourth round, this living tree wakes up and he starts attacking anybody within a 3-inch radius of it, which was a ton of fun. Other than that, I got a few more additions to my Skaven army. I painted some rat swarms, which was a quick one. I got some snipers, or what they call Giselle squads, Skaven snipers for my Skaven army. And I think after that, I might stop with my Skaven army for a while. I think it's been getting a lot of love. Other than that, I painted a little grot tank for my ever-growing Orc 40k Orc army, which was a ton of fun. It's a quick one to do. I really actually am enjoying painting vehicles, which is not something that I thought I would. I still have a battle wagon, a large one, a big project that's that has to get painted soon. So yeah, that is a kind of I'm procrastinating on that one. And then lastly, I started with one more little dreadnought for my Blood Angels squad, which is also kind of a modestly sized army at this point. Don't have too much for them, but I like adding a few models there every now and again. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Oh, I actually got a shout out just to one YouTube channel, if I may. It's called Too Many Hobbies. I've been enjoying watching Too Many Hobbies. That's two, the number two, and then Many Hobbies. Been enjoying his 1 hour skirmish war games videos. 1 hour skirmish war games is a really fun diceless system, which just uses two decks of cards. A really fun system that I've been enjoying myself. And he did a great playthrough where he played 40k Marines, Space Marines versus Necrons, using the 1 hour skirmish war games rules. It's kind of interesting, and I kind of inspired me to do the same. In any case, that is me. Thanks again, Matthew, for the awesome episode, or for the awesome podcast, and looking forward to hearing everybody else's hobby updates. That's it for me for now. Bye-bye.
Hello, Matthew and the Bedroom Battlefields crew. If you hear some strange noises in the background, that's merely the sound of Intel's microchip manufacturing process working. What I'm up to at the moment? Well, apart from work, which seems to be taking up far too much of my time, I have been painting, slowly painting up, several Necromunda gangs. This is inadvisable. I would advise painting one gang and then moving on to the next, but I seem to be butterflying my way from Cawdor to the Ratskins and now to Escher. I've been enjoying it immensely. I would like to get some actually painted and on the table so my sons and I can play, but we'll see. Hopefully next month we can have some epic encounters. As far as future ideas go, I would like to continue with the Necromunda, but to actually see if there's some people nearby who want to play the 1995 version. And I want to get back into Mordheim. I started, I painted up some things, I pivoted, I got busy at work, and then I didn't go back to it. And now I'm thinking, it's time. Unfortunately, current geopolitical issues and tariffs have meant that some of the MDF terrain that I wanted to order for it, I will have to get by some other means. But hopefully I'll be able to manage that sometime soon. I'd like to get some games going. It looks like Beastmen will be the first gang I work on, and then possibly Skaven. But we shall see. Yeah, that's me at the moment. I'd love to see where I get to next month. I hope the questions of the month continue.
Hello, Matthew, and everybody in the podcast community. It's David M. on the Discord and Fifth Hammer over on YouTube checking in for our question of the month of what hobby stuff we're working on now. And as we head into October, I am working on a unit of Al-Katani Fellowship Pikemen from the Warhammer Dogs of War army that debuted in 5th edition. So we're talking circa 1998. And I've managed to track down at least 42 of these fine little fellows. If you're not familiar with them, I've got a couple blisters that I pop open over on my channel if you want to go take a look. But if you can't or don't want to, I can tell you that these guys are like a fusion of Greek hoplite meets 30 years war pikemen. A fusion that you know only exists probably in the Warhammer world, and that's why we love it. It's a weird and wild fusion of all these different inspirations. And so anyway, I managed to track 42 of these guys down, which was not an easy task. I really wanted to put together a big unit of these pikemen to really make it look intimidating and fierce on the field. And I mean, you know, what's the point of pikes if you can only have 10 of them? You know, you want to have close to 50, I think, at least, you know, in my mind anyway. And so, it's been a challenge putting those together, sourcing them, assembling them, trying to get them to actually rank up. And so that's what I've been working on this month, is doing that. And hopefully I'm going to get them primed later today. And then on October 1st, when the Call of the Crown challenge kicks off, I will get the painting underway. I've never attempted painting a unit that big before, so I'm going to have to force myself to probably spend less time on the details than I'm used to and focus on getting the unit itself done and focus on the big stuff, the big areas of color that you're going to see from a distance and make them look good as a whole first rather than as individuals. So that'll be something of a newer take for me. I tend to lose myself in the details on these minis, but I just, with that many, with 42 plus, I'm just not going to have a chance to do that here. Or if I do lose myself, I'm probably not going to get them done in time. So anywho, that's what I'm working on. And I also have a Dogs of War mercenary general to do as well, who will be the general of the army. And anywho, yeah, that's what'll be keeping me busy in October. But I can't wait to hear what everybody else is up to and get all the updates and whatnot from everybody else in the community. And so with that, I'll sign off and hope to hear from everybody soon.
Hi, it's Dave calling with my update for September. So yeah, I have become something of like the arbiter of a Necromunda campaign a wee bit out of the blue. My mate got in touch and said a friend of his and his couple of boys and their cousin all wanted to get started with Necromunda, or, you know, were interested. So of course they jumped at that chance and got everybody set up to play a wee intro game. So that has taken off, despite other hobby projects not necessarily grinding to a halt. So I'm finding myself juggling that a wee bit. My older son's interested in that. My younger son's not interested at all. So I've been trying to find different games that he would be interested in. We had a wee run of Gorgomorka with him, and he kind of enjoyed that. His one of his guys leapt off a truck and bonked my boss over the head and put him out of action. So that was all fine. But then we did the serious injury roll, and my boss got a head wound, and he didn't like the idea that something bad like that could happen, and he was just not interested after that, even though it was my boss who now had a head wound. So he just was like, no, that's not very nice. So I'm kind of trying to navigate the you know, sort of fortnightly down the club running Necromunda campaign for 4 or 5 players, and trying to do something else with my younger son as well that he will enjoy. A friend of mine came along last week, and we played. He was kind enough to jump in and play like no rules, anything goes, 11-year-old GM freeform adventure, which was 100% outside his comfort zone. And, you know, massive respect for him for putting up with us and playing along and getting into that. But now he's like, can we play some vintage 40K? And I would love to. But it's another sort of demand on, you know, what I'm able to bring along to the club, support in terms of giving the guys what they need to do, not ignoring my son to play with all the other guys. And also, yeah, I've a lot on the go. So, yeah, other projects that are not apparently stopping. We are still well and truly in the middle of Middle Earth and building a giant Tower of Orthanc. Taking the Hobbits to Isengard remains a future campaign which we will continue building in preparation for. There are 10 Riders of Rohan purchased off eBay on the way in as well, so that's been grand. Somewhat in the back burner, but you know, we're getting lots of terrain ideas. We've been talking about making a little bag end, so I got a block of insulation foam and started carving that, and then realized the dust was horrible and needed to kind of rethink my plans for that. So that should be good. I really do want to get on to that, because having a wee bag end to play on would be great. It'd be kind of nice for burrows and badgers as well, actually. Not that I ever get a chance to play that. That's another thing for the future. Then there's been lots of Necromunda inspiration fueling things. So I've been doing a bit of Necromunda terrain, because Necromunda buildings are interesting and all. They block line of sight a bit, but they don't really block movement much, because you can just move right under them. So I figured some walls would be good, particularly for the shootout scenario that I would like to try and have a go at, if that's possible. And I've been painting up my Orlocks for Paint All the Minis monthly challenge as well. So just taking some pictures of them. I'll be posting those over on the gallery as well. So yeah, they're sort of like kind of, they're almost Orlocks in Escher colours. Sort of, they're a wee bit like Manic Street Preachers in the early 90s punk or something. Anyway, I've had fun painting up some of those. There's still a couple more of them to go. So, yeah, that's been what I've been working on. Looking forward to hearing everybody else's hobby update. Cheers.
Hey, Matthew, this is Ryan Don Juan Don from the Discord. Yeah, I was just calling in with the with an answer to this month's question of the month, basically asking us what are we painting, playing, or planning on doing right now. So for me, I've got, I think, a couple I would say ongoing projects, and then one new one I'm actually really excited about. So as far as the ongoing stuff goes, still playing Halo at least every other week and having an absolutely great time with a group of folks in our town. And I still need to paint some of the Banished models that had just been released for that. But otherwise, my other forces are all painted up, and it's honestly just been great being able to sit down and play regularly and have a recurring group and a recurring night. The other thing that's I was working on last month and I have been for some time is I started dabbling in the Skyrim, or I guess the Elder Scrolls, Call to Arms game. They have a mode in there that's called a Delve mode, which is like a solo co-op mode against AI opponents and whatnot. And, I initially was kind of turned off by the rule set, but the more I dug into it, the more I thought it seemed, okay and at a minimum serviceable. But what it does provide is it provides a lot of, decks of cards for weapons and armor and, events and enemies and allies and whatnot from the Skyrim game. And I don't know, I find that world really cool. And I spent a lot of time in there in the video game. So it seems like a natural progression to bring it to the table if possible. So I've been painting up some forces for that, working on some terrain for that. And I'm really hoping I'm going to intentionally constrain myself initially to a 2x2 table to see if I can get a more condensed experience and try to make it. I don't know. Lately I've been on this condensed gaming kick. I don't know if it's from playing Halo on a 2x2 or what, but I really started to gravitate that way rather than, the big sprawling mats and tables and whatnot. So finally, the last thing on my list and arguably the newest thing this month was a buddy of mine and one of the hosts of the Hobby Homies podcast, Fox. He and a friend have put together a terrain set, and I think it's their first dive into terrain creation. And they're going to be putting out, like so many folks, they're going to put out a Kickstarter here shortly. I've got a fair bit of experience with terrain and was kind of looking at it, and it's a really neat system. It's a sci-fi, it's called Altair Colony Base, and it's by Astrolite Studios. But they use like a frame system with either clips or magnets, and then you can swap in and out panels to grow, or adapt the structures, and they stack and they do all kinds of stuff. It's the engineer in me, it really just tickles the mechanical engineering part of my brain because it's just very modular and seems like it goes really well. So I've just been helping those guys out with test printing components and just kind of looking over how they come out on the printer, and I'm going to do up some painting because at this point, all the pieces I've test printed, I'll have enough to do some gaming, probably use that for 5 parsecs at some point because I absolutely love that game. But yeah, so I've been helping out just with some testing and that kind of stuff for the Altair Colony Base Kickstarter that should be coming soon. So I guess I'll roll in a little plug. If anybody's interested, go take a look at it, at least give it a look and a notification, just because it is a really slick system, the way they've put it together. So that is what is on my table and kind of on my mind this month. It's been a great month. I feel like I've gotten a lot of hobbying done. At least where we're at, it's been incredibly hot. So get outside occasionally, but it's a good time to be inside and be painting and gaming. So thanks again for a great question. Always love these. These are just one of the things I really look forward to. And really excited to hear what other folks got going on. So until next time, thank you, Matthew. Appreciate it. Bye.
Hello, everyone. Callum, a.k.a. Dr. Spoke here. I'll keep this one brief as I'm suffering from the plague. This month was going very well for me until Papa Nurgle took hold of my life. Fantasy Watchtower and a remaster of my very first terrain piece are done and uploaded. My Orc and Goblin army is actually built and base coated. And I managed to make a whole bunch of Nurgle terrain during Jason's wonderful 2-hour terrain challenge that I probably spent closer to 3.5 hours working on. But anyway, 5 pieces of terrain, wonderful. And my Gene Steeler cult was within my grasp until my body failed me. Hopefully I'll manage to get the last few bits of that done in amongst other things over the next few months. Anyway, next month is the start of the Call of the Crown. So a mob of orcs to paint and hopefully another couple of 3D designs to get finished off and out there. Yeah, probably something to celebrate Orktober. Anyway, goodbye. I'll catch you all next month.
Hello, Matthew. This is Carl Paulson of Chicago Skirmish War Games. Not really doing much right now. Basement got flooded, but there are many plans. The club wrapped up a Song of Blades and Heroes series, and now we are moving towards probably playing a bunch of Grimdark future over the next couple of months. I think everyone has their old armies and wants to get them back on the table again. And the hobbying front, I've acquired all I need to build a second and third level onto my Necromunda-style sci-fi terrain. Mostly toys. Got some Thomas the Tank Engine tower things, some geo tracks, some parking garages that were probably Hot Wheels-ish. Many of you saw that I built a lot of bridges last year, or this year rather, and now it's time to get these two- and three-story towers and structures to connect those bridges. So that should be exciting. Hope to have that worked up by Adepticon. So thinking long-term, doing some gaming and building some terrain. Hope you're all having fun with your projects as fall approaches, and look forward to hearing what they are.
Hi, Matthew. Martin here in Hampshire. Martin S. on the Discord with a quick and very late reply to your question of the month about our hobby updates. On the painting table and making decent progress, I currently have some 15mm Visigoths, which are destined to be a DBA tournament prize. These have now been joined by some ancient Greeks donated by my friend Richard for yet another prize. The Greeks needed a few extra figures added to make a legit DBA army, so the challenge now is to try to match the style already used for the rest of the army. On the gaming front, I've been asked to fight through some battles in an Ancients campaign being run by Maudlin Jack Tarr in Ireland. One I played last month, and it went very, very well. I've just been asked to play another one, in which a Persian-type army has invaded an Egyptian-themed nation. So now I'm about to work out the details of what's in each army and what terrain will be fought over. I'm very much looking forward to that. The last one I ran had plenty of unexpected twists and turns, so despite playing the game solo, I'll have very little idea what will actually transpire in this one until the dice do their thing. Great fun. Thanks, as always, for the blog and podcast. Cheers to all.
Hey, Matthew and the Tabletop Hobby Miniatures podcast listeners. This is David of Axe Annex from the Bad Internet Friends podcast, checking in with my hobby progress for September. It was a super busy month. Surprisingly, we went shockingly fast. Just actually kind of blown away that we're already at the end of the month. So my hobby did suffer a little bit. I spent more time getting to bed early than I did working on miniatures and stuff, which is always sad. But sleep, I guess, is important. I did pick up the new Horus Heresy box, and I built a grand total of 2 Mark II Space Marines. And also purchased a no-wash airbrush, and it has a little electric battery attached, so it's an all one-and-done system. You just put the paint in the bottle, you slap on the little needle, load it into the gun, and you just start spraying. And if it clogs, you toss out that needle and you start again. Feels kind of wasteful, but I did successfully clean one nozzle that clogged. One was clogged beyond belief and did not recover. Turns out my Vallejo black primer was half goo, so that didn't want to go through the needle. But really handy if you just want to like pick up an airbrush, slap some paint in, and go. It's almost as easy as just painting from your wet palette. Yeah, that's really cool. Gaming-wise, I got a game of 5 Parsecs from Home 2nd Edition in. It was part of the campaign that's going on in the Nordic Weasel Games Discord. It was great to bring my old crew back on the table and play a slightly older rule set, which is not that different from 5 Parsecs from Home 3rd Edition. There's a few differences, but it gives me that nostalgic feeling like it's 2019 all over again. And then my other game I played this month was called Endless Hammer, which is the game I'm developing. It's based on the Squad Hammer Orc license and Endless Fantasy Tactics. Endless Fantasy Tactics was a game that was made to emulate the experience you get from Ogre Battle, Tactics Ogre, and Final Fantasy Tactics. Those kind of isometric battlers that emulate miniatures gaming, but on like a little square grid with certain levels of height. And always found Endless Fantasy Tactics not quite accessible. It's kind of a little too bespoke and relied heavily on books that you didn't get with your initial purchase of the game. So I never quite got any momentum from that, but I always thought to myself, it would be great just to kind of make this a little more miniatures agnostic, a little more open to the players. So mine is kind of more heavily based on D&D tropes and character classes. So it'll be included in the main book, and you can easily play a versus game, but it's more centered towards co-op and solo, kind of a narrative mode. And those modes will be released in world books. I think pretty cool. But yeah, that's been taking up most of my brain space these days, even at work. And the last cool thing, I think, for hobbying this month has been Google Notebook LM, where you can feed PDFs or YouTube videos or just about anything into it. And it'll kind of give you like a cool summary or a debriefing or a critique. Or you can have like a little debate between the two AIs. And they kind of like hammer down points. And it's been great for getting feedback initially from all the alpha rules I've developed, as well as just kind of, you got a PDF of a rule book you've been sitting around in your Dropbox that you haven't read in a few years, or you just never quite managed to get it read. You have those kind of things sitting in your library. You can just feed it into the Notebook LM and it'll spit out a bunch of content based on it. And then you kind of get a pretty cool idea of the game, and maybe kind of fires you back up and you say, no, actually, I'm going to get that on the team. And as always, I am looking forward to hearing everyone else's responses, and thanks for the opportunity for me to speak. Take care. Bye-bye.
Did you know that you could sponsor the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast for as little as $23 an episode? If you've got a game, product, Kickstarter, miniature range, British Chain Pub or Bee Gees album that you'd like to get in front of an audience of passionate hobbyists, then give me a shout at hello@bedroombattlefields.com. That's hello@bedroombattlefields.com. And now, back to the show.
Hello, Matthew. It's Ed from Sussex and the Bedroom Battlefield Discord, checking in with my hobby progress and what I'm planning on doing in the upcoming month. So last time I spoke to you, I mentioned Blood Bowl. I got a bunch of Blood Bowl stuff painted. So next month I want to get in at least one, ideally two games of Blood Bowl using my Orcs, which are what I think I'm going to be using in the tournament in November. So that's that element. I also mentioned the upcoming Armageddon campaign at my local club that I'm running. So we had our first battle, which was great fun. The Orcs managed to push their way forwards towards the Hive. The next battle is in fact tomorrow, where the Orcs will be trying to scavenge a whole load of scrap to work on their stompers ready for the assault on the Hive city, with the Marines and Eldar trying to stop them from getting that equipment. So that seems to be going pretty well. I've got all the models for that now painted, but I do still need to get some of Dr. Spork's scenery done up. It's all primed. It's just there's a lot of ruins, and I'm not sure I'm ready to do that many ruins. But at some point I will. Hopefully in time for the final battle. If not, I'll get them done at when I get round to them. I also mentioned Space Weirdos, the fan expansion that I've been working on. The layout on that is now complete, which is great. And we are now doing a final proofread for typos and bits and pieces like that. So that hopefully will be done over the next couple of weeks. Just sent it out to the people who did the proofreading for the last round. I'm going to do a little check through myself. So we'll see how that goes. and hopefully that will be up on Wargames Vault by the end of October, touch wood. And then I suppose that just leaves my upcoming projects. So on my painting desk at the moment, I've got a few Gene Steeler Cult minis or properties, which I'm looking forward to getting some colour onto when I have a moment. I also have a whole bunch of Skaven Monopose minis to make a unit of Clan Rats ready for Jason's big game in January. I have a small Skaven element who made their presence felt in the last big game. So I'm planning on expanding that a little bit. I've got about nearly 30 Clan Rats to paint, both of the sort of fourth edition Monopose Skaven models and the HeroQuest Monopose Skaven models. So it's going to be a bit of a mixture of those. And then I've been collecting Harlequin minis from the 1980s. My big project for next year is going to be painting that army up. So that's something I'm excited about. And we'll probably have to do a little bit of prep for later on this year, but they're not an active project. So anyway, lots going on, probably far too much going on, but I am being kept entertained, which is always the aim of all of this. Anyway, I'm looking forward to hearing how everyone else is getting on with their hobby projects, and hopefully they're all making good progress and planning exciting new adventures. I know there's a lot of Call of Command preparation which has been going on, ready to start painting, I think beginning of October, I think that starts. So it'll be great to hear how all of that hard work comes along. Anyway, all the best, Matthew, and look forward to speaking to you again soon. Cheers.
Hello, this is the Lockleys from Droitwich in England responding to the question of the month. And this is Fabian. How old are you, Fabian?
5.
Okay, can you tell me what you've been painting this month? What have you got in your hand?
In my hand, I have got...
Yeah?
A skeleton.
Okay, and he's from a game called HeroQuest. And what colour have you painted him?
Turquoise.
Okay, this was a tricky one, wasn't it? Because the paint, was the paint behaving properly on this model?
No.
What was it doing?
It was, when I painted it, it basically just didn't stay on well. It spreaded around.
Yeah, so we decided the model was too glossy and the turquoise glossy paint you were putting on was moving around the model, wasn't it? Nope. It's just an audio, so they can just hear your voice, okay? So Daddy has sprayed that with matte varnish now, hasn't he, to make it a bit rougher.
Yeah.
So hopefully the next time we sit down, we will have a bit more success with that one.
Dad.
Yeah?
Will he hear us?
Yes.
Through here?
They will, yes.
It's recording.
It is recording. So let's put this one down. What's this next model you painted? This one's also from HeroQuest. What does he look like? What is he?
Knight.
Yeah, go on. Yeah, so it's a knight.
Knight.
And what colour have you painted him?
Gold.
Yeah, even the cloak. He's super gold. Extra, extra gold, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, and he is a quite cool model, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, and then the third and final model we painted, this is a bit of a luxurious one, isn't it? This is a nut.
And I call this my Blastoise.
Your Blastoise?
Yeah!
This is a Gnar robot from Gates of Antares. Antares.
Someone gave us this.
Dr. Ben donated these models to us, didn't he? Because he doesn't play that game anymore. And this was the first time we used a wash, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you used a wash for the first time, didn't you?
Wash.
Yeah, a wash. Or a shade.
Yeah.
I remember Daddy called it talent in a bottle.
Yeah.
Because it makes it look a lot better, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And what did Obi said it did? It made it look like the spaces were bigger in the model.
The spaces were bigger.
Yeah, what colour have you painted him?
Purple, and by the gun.
Yeah.
I painted it a bit red, but it might... I painted it a bit more down, but then it might have gone a bit up.
Yes, exactly. Right, okay. So who have we got next?
Obi.
This is Obi. And how old are you, Obi?
Seven.
And what model have you got in your hand right now?
I've got in my hand a dinosaur from one of my armies that I've painted.
So that's a Seraphon Saurus Warrior by Games Workshop.
Yeah, and I got it for my birthday. And I've and this is the sixth one I've painted out of 10.
Yeah.
And the leader he follows is red.
And what colour's this one?
Dino.
What colour's this one?
This one's blue.
Okay, that was painted with a contrast blue, wasn't it?
And his weapon on here, his battle bolt and shield aren't painted yet.
Yeah, so we've not done the weapons yet, have we? But we'll do that at another point. And then you've got another one of these Gates of Antares Gnar robots, haven't you? Like Dr. Ben donated.
Yeah, I painted him red, purple, and lucky grey.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. It was kind of like a silver, but then the red shade has changed the colour.
Put shade on it, and it also looks very creepy.
Mm.
And I've got gravel all on the bottom.
Okay, so we did a bit of basing, didn't we?
Yeah, and he's also in the army of the dinosaurs.
Yeah, I mean, what respectable dinosaur army doesn't have any robots? And then the third and final model, what's this?
I've got Mark 7, and he's from a different team, but in the same huge country army. But
what game's he from?
He's from Flashpoint.
Yes, Halo Flashpoint by Mantic Games.
And there's lots more, because this is...
Yeah, so...
Mark 7, the leader.
So what colour have you started painting him?
I started painting him blue, then I'll paint him black, then red.
Light blue, yeah, because you're going to try... You would like to try and paint it similar to the picture on the card art, wouldn't
you?
Yeah. Okay, all right, great. Okay, well, why don't we sign off with a great big goodbye?
Hi there, it's Williams Wargames here. It's been a while since I've played any wargames, actually. Done a little bit of RPGs. But recently, well, at least over the last few days, I have been printing out some ships for the Battlefleet Gothic Remastered Starter Kit, which is a set of Imperial and Chaos fleets, which are brilliant for getting printed quickly, because they all come pre-supported, and then they are really easily painted with dry brushing and some highlights. I've been using the Void Admiral rule set. The goal is to play a game with Ed Abel over the next week or two. And that should be super fun. I'm using a hex grid instead of measuring things. And it's just kind of nice to get these ships that I've always seen in magazines from when I started reading White Dwarf more actively. And actually seeing them in a game. Admittedly, I'm not playing Battlefleet Gothic, but still pretty cool. I also like to try Grand Fleet again. So I'm probably going to A-B these together and figure out what's best. And that's very much a Grognard historical combat game of the high seas, you know, pre-World War I, with crazy steamships and sailing ships and cannons and all kinds of stuff, which is fun in a very different way. So I'm going to kind of compare them and see which is best to play. And that's what I'm up to. Thanks very much.
This is Darren Narad from the Discord, and I'm doing a second call here, and this is not meant to compliment the last one, but to replace it, because the last one was very rambling and in a little bit of a downer place. I was saying that I had a bunch of models and wasn't sure which direction to go next. And so I wanted to replace that with something a little more positive, because I had both retail therapy and also a really great game recently. So what's inspiring me now is that I finally played a competitive game of Oathmark against a fellow from the local club I've been going to. And I spent the last 6 months playing Warhammer there, realizing that Warhammer, the old world, wasn't really my cup of tea. A little too slow and fiddly and tedious. So against one of those players, we had a little practice game of Oathmark. Played a pretty full-size game and really enjoyed it. And had a lot of back and forth, had a lot more movement than old world. I played dwarves in Old World, and then played dwarves again in this one. And in this one, I actually had charges and flanking maneuvers, and it was a lot more fluid. And so I enjoyed a lot. And so we're excited, and we're going to try to make it a bit of a monthly thing and do a casual campaign. And so that's got me excited and got me thinking, okay, now I want to build a bunch of these cavalry. I've got a bunch of the Oathmark cavalry sprues that I better build. And still not sure what exactly direction I'm going to go with it, but it has me excited again to just for the gaming part. And also for the retail therapy part, besides way too many models, I did pick up a couple of things. One is the Perilous Dark supplement for Frostgrave, which I've always been interested in for solo gaming. Probably try out some of those scenarios sooner than later. And also I got these cards, these Axion Quest cards. They're meant as a supplement for HeroQuest, so that you can play HeroQuest kind of with some like random dungeon generation kind of, and solo without like having to use the app. You basically place a bunch of cards in each room and turn them over when your character goes in. It's just kind of another way to play, to do some solo miniature gaming. And I'm excited to try those out as well. So that might get me to do that. So I've got, now I'm excited again. Got a lot of projects. Still want to finish painting a couple of board games I've got. The Rising Sun and War of the Ring games. Anyway. All good stuff. Look forward to hearing what everyone else has to say. And sorry to give you two recordings, but it's the highs and lows of the hobby. You know, one day you're overwhelmed by all your stuff, and it's a pile of shame. And the next, it's all the opportunities abound. All right, thank you very much. Have a good one, everybody.
Hey, Matthew, this is Cam of Warwick. I am also getting geared up and hyped up for the Call of the Crown challenge. I've never participated in a painting challenge before, so I've got no idea if deadlines are going to help me or hinder, but I guess I'll be finding out. And the worst case scenario is that I'll have some models painted that I didn't previously. I'm doing Chaos Dwarfs, which are models I didn't like at all back in the 90s. I thought the hats were ridiculous. But when I decided back in about 2017 that I needed to collect a Warhammer fantasy army, I wanted it to be Chaos Dwarfs. So just before and during COVID, I collected about 3,000 points of them, and that's what I'll be working from. I'm pledging very modest unit sizes, so I've got plenty to choose from. I've got a bunch of Chaos Dwarfs with axes and shields. All of the shields are 3D printed from Fablezell. Got a bunch of blunderbusses, some hobgoblin sneaky gits, a hobgoblin champion that is printed from Brawniac, Astrogoth, a sorcerer on foot, a great Taurus, a death rocket, an earthshaker cannon, and a hobgoblin bolt thrower. Strangely enough, the only war machine that came with wheels was the death rocket, and one of those wheels was from an Empire cannon. So luckily, I was able to find STLs that are perfect matches for the wheels I needed. And I printed off a handful of those because, you know, they'll be great for tarting up scatter terrain like fences and barricades and stuff. I've also got a Ral Partha Manticore that I'm excited to get some paint on for your Discord audience in particular. He's only about half the size of a Taurus, and he costs 200 points, but the sculpt has got some fantastic mutton chops on him, so I think he'll be worth it. Anyways, I'll be sharing pictures as I get stuff completed, so y'all wish me luck.
Cryo Volcano, a solo scenario that could be played with any sci-fi skirmish rule set and miniatures, is now available on the Bedroom Battlefields Patreon. It was originally published in Miniature Wargames magazine, and you'll now find everything you need to play it, along with a whole host of additional bonus content, over at patreon.com/bedroombattlefields. That's patreon.com/bedroombattlefields. And now back to the show.
Hello, Jamie speaking from Droitwich. I didn't have time to record my entry after the kids' messy one earlier or a couple of days ago. So anyway, I'm hoping I'm squeaking in before the deadline for the question of the month. So at the moment, I've been painting a series of random minis for our ongoing Thor of the Lich Lord Frostgrave campaign. Essentially, I'm trying to have the complete bestiary ready in my box, ready to go, so any rolls on the table can be covered. The campaign is going well, and we're about a third of the way through. We've had some really funky games. And yeah, so it's really good. And seems to be going pretty well so far, so that's good. Looking forward to hearing what everyone else is up to. And yeah, have a great day, everyone. Bye.
So as for my own progress over the past month or so, I have been pretty busy with the old hobby in, starting with my 15mm Chaos Army. So I think I mentioned on the last hobby update episode that I'd been painting the Shield Maidens. I looked back, I couldn't remember where they were from. It's North Star military figures, so they're really good little miniatures in 15mm, funnily enough. But they're pretty much done. And I have had the Chaos Knights as well. I've got four mounted Chaos Knights from Ralpartha, so they're done. They're all just waiting on a varnish, basically. And the very final unit for that Chaos Army are the Beastmen. So I have all the base coat and everything are done. So it's just basically finishing them up. But Beastmen are pretty straightforward, aren't they? Like they're pretty muted colours, and at least the way I paint them. So that shouldn't be too much of a challenge. And then that Chaos Army is done, and I'll be looking to get a wee game of Hobgoblin at some point over the next couple of months with the good Dr. Spork. I've also based and primed up a couple of 28mm miniatures that I picked up at Bring Out Your Lead. So the first one was just the official Boyle like gift miniature. I think they do these every year. So it was like a hive vampire, really cool looking wee miniature. So you could imagine like Necromunda vampire. He's not a great looking fellow from a handsomeness point of view, I suppose. But really cool miniature to add to the old sci-fi collection at that scale. Come in handy for all sorts of different skirmish games. And David from the Discord as well, he came all the way over from America just to see me and give me a miniature. It was nothing to do with the fact that Boyle was on. But big thanks to David for doing that. It was like a demonette of Slaanesh. So I've never painted one of them before. And again, another really cool model. And I'm looking forward to doing that as well. One of the nice wee sort of palette cleansers, I think. So those two are ready to go as well. And then I did mention Dr. Spork there. I have been rolling some dice with Callum recently. He came round to mine and we were playing a mini campaign using the Song of Blades and Heroes rules. And I split up my big Nurgle warband. We made two rival Nurgle warbands and created a little backstory in that. He'd made some brilliant terrain during the Royal Orc session recently, which I stupidly missed, but he'd made some brilliant terrain, and him and his wee one had kind of painted it all up. So he brought that over, and that was great to put that on the table. It worked really well. So we played some kind of reskin scenarios from the sci-fi skirmish war games book by John Lambshead, but reskinned for kind of fantasy, and it worked really well. So it was good fun, and we did a couple of recordings at the end of each game. So you'll hear a bit more about that in a few weeks' time when I get a chance to kind of put that episode together. But yeah, that was really fun, and we've got a few games left to kind of wrap that mini campaign up as well. And then Blood Bowl is another thing that's kind of been on my mind and my table recently. So if you're a long time listener, you'll have heard me probably bemoaning my gnome team in the past. So I've got a gnomes team, but I also, like, I had Blood Bowl when I was young. So I had like the mid-90s box, and I had the Chaos team. I think they were called the Chaos All-Stars at the time. So it was mainly Beastmen, but there was three Chaos Warrior players. And then I had Lord Borak, I'm sure the name is. So I had them, and somehow the Chaos Warrior miniatures have just gone to the place where I guess some childhood miniatures go. So I ended up with like the Beastman on their own and a Beastman star player. He's got like three or four hands. So I really liked the thought of getting the Chaos Warriors back, and I was having a wee look online. So Troll Trader, which looks a cool site, but you know, they had them, and I think to get the three Chaos Warriors plus the star player, Lord Borak, it would have been like £70. So I was kind of mentioning that on the Discord, and big thanks to Stuart, who found on eBay the same four miniatures available for, I think the bid started in the, like, it was like £31 or something. So it had a buy now for about 40 odd. I think it was 40, 40 exactly, 41 maybe. Anyway, so I just thought, let's go for it, and got them. It's more than I would tend to pay for miniatures, but yeah, it completes that team. And so Real Moff Chaos, it makes sense if you see it written down. That's what I've called the team. So those miniatures came, and they weren't in the best of condition, truth be told. They were, I mean, I suspected, like, I don't really know anything about it, but I was worried about it maybe being that lead rot that you hear about. So that was when Callum was round, and I was showing them to him, and he said as well he didn't know an awful lot about it, but we were having a good look at them, and he just said, get them in the Dettol, give them a good scrub and clean. And I was looking online about it too, about things to do. So anyway, they went into the Dettol and then gave them a good scrub, and then I put them in some dishwater like fairy liquid and water, and a wee bit of bicarb soda. So they've cleaned up fine. There's still a couple of details that aren't great, but now that they've been primed in Zenithal, they don't look too bad. So
I was just listening back doing the edit there, and I thought I'd jump in to clarify something. I don't actually think, I should have said this, but I don't actually think it is lead rot. Like, these miniatures were from about 94, and again, you maybe know more about this than me, it's entirely likely, but for what I've read, like, they're a bit later than, like, miniatures you would expect to get lead rot. Like, I think they were kind of made a little bit differently at that period in time. So I don't think it is lead rot. I think what's happened with them is that they've been basically poorly stored for, you know, potentially decades. I think maybe they've been, say, outside in a garage or a damp hut or something like that. Basically, it's almost like wee bits of rust on them, or just, like I say, I reckon they've just been stored in suboptimal conditions, maybe a bit of damp and cold and that. So I think that's what's happened here, and they've cleaned up. I don't think it's lead rot, but again, every chance you know more about this than me, and you're either thinking to yourself, it's definitely lead rot, or it couldn't possibly be lead rot, and you are an idiot. Anyway, back to me walking about in the woods.
At least that gets them signed up for the Realm of Chaos team, and I'll hopefully be getting a wee game with them pretty soon. And on the subject of Blood Bowl, I also made some markers for it. So, like, if you play Blood Bowl yourself, you'll be aware of, like, you know, when you take a turn, it's quite hard to track which players have moved. You've also got, like, you could be prone, so you're putting them, is that face down and then stunned is face up, or vice versa? Anyway, there's quite a few different like situations where a player, it'd be good to know visually, like, what's going on, and it's not always that obvious. Like, I know there's this thing about, like, when you activate a player, just turn them to face the other way, and I just didn't really like doing that, like, aesthetically, and it just kind of felt a bit naff as well. So I had a big bunch of 50 mil, I think they were, round bases, so a big batch of them, and I painted up a lot of them, like, well, 22, I painted them green, so that you could, at the start of each turn, you just, like, all the miniatures were sitting on these bases, and as you activated, you would just remove them from underneath. So that was working well when I tested it out, and then I made some red ones for prone players, and just kept other ones black for stunned players. So it's quite good, like, it's working quite well. I'm not saying it's anything groundbreaking, people potentially do this, I've been doing it for years, but so that's what I've got there now. And then the ball as well, it was like the ball I was using, I think it was one of the balls from the set in the 90s, and it was tiny. So I had a bigger round base, it was even bigger than 50 mil, and I just put, like, grass effect on it and stuck the ball down on the sort of edge of it. So again, that's I know that you could buy these things and or, like, plug the ball into the base of the miniature, but anyway, that's, like, to me, it's a decent way of just knowing exactly where the ball is at a glance, sort of thing. Staying with Blood Bowl too, like, you know, the the box set that I had in the mid-90s, I've still got a lot of the plastic players, so the human and orc players from that set. And I dug them all out, and half of them were painted, you know, painted by like a 12-year-old, and half of them were still just bare plastic. So I counted them both up. I had exactly 11 orcs. So like you had in that set, you had like the black orc blockers, you had the throwers, the blitzers, the linemen. Did you have an orc catcher? I can't remember. You probably did, but I don't think I've got one of those. And in the human side of things, I had a lot of linemen, couple of catchers, couple of blitzers. Didn't have a human thrower. But anyway, like I had 10 humans, 11 orcs. I thought that's a good start. So some of them had to go in the death toll as well. I made a bit of a mistake with that initially because I'd soaked them and then I was scrubbing the paint off with a toothbrush, but I put it under the running water. So the bulk of the paint came off, but on hindsight, I looked into this and the Dettol seems to react with the water and the paint, and it could kind of, it's almost like tar or gloop. I'm sure Callum told me about this, to be honest. I'm sure he forewarned me of this, and I must have agreed without actually taking it on board. But a few of them came out and they didn't look very good at all, and I was thinking, I don't know if they're like, has that actually damaged the plastic or what? But again, I did a wee bit of research and it said, no, just get them back in the Dettol for a good 12 hours or so. And then when you take them out, scrub them with a toothbrush, but don't involve water in the process. Like, just use Dettol exclusively. Scrub them away, let them dry. You know, if you see any paint left over after that, do the same again, but only clean them up with the water once you're satisfied that you've got all the paint off. And that's what I did, and that's exactly what happened. So they're as good as new now, and I just need to get on with basing them and painting them, basically, for the human side, because, like, again, it'll be a while before I get a game with these guys, but only having 10 of them. And I thought to myself, I wonder if I could just knock somebody else up to be the 11th player. So I had a wee look in the drawer, and of course, a couple of years ago, some of you will know that, like, I bought that wee set of picked warriors from Foundry that bring out your lead in 24, and for some reason, like, they're all naked. I don't know much about picks. I read a fair bit about them. I don't think they walked about with no trousers on. Honestly don't. And if they did, it certainly must have been a different climate than it is now up here. But these guys are all naked. They've got the meat and veg hanging out. So anyway, this guy, I thought, like, I could just move his arm. He didn't have a weapon, so I could move his arm, put a shoulder pad on him where I've made the cut to kind of move the arm, and just make a wee ball with green stuff. And Bob's your uncle, there he was. Was it Tom in the Discord that said it's Bobby Charlton? So just this little naked blitzer. So all good fun. He'll make a nice narrative addition, I guess, to my Altdorf amateurs team. That's maybe what we'll call them, actually. But the picks that keep on giving. And then I was recently, like, I was in the shopping centre with my daughter, and she likes to go in. I don't know where you are. They've got the Works. It's like a big stationery shop with books and stuff. But upstairs they've got a kind of arts and crafts area, and it's always really cheap stuff, but like pretty decent stuff. So anyway, I was up there and did these wee mushrooms. They were like, you know, it's in a section where it's like birdhouses and garden ornaments, I guess. And I suppose the idea is that you create stuff and decorate them and that. So these wee mushrooms, these wee, wee bag of mushrooms, that sounds dodgy, but a £1 bag of mushrooms. So I picked up two of those and I thought I could make a nice wee sort of shroom forest terrain feature. And you get that like air drying clay on Amazon, it's like a fiver. So I used that to create the bases. I made two wee clumps of these, stuck the mushrooms down once it was dry, and used the Vallejo ground texture stuff just to base it, basically. So now I've sprayed it black, made sure it's all covered black, and then I've zenithed it as well, so it's ready to take a wee paint, basically. But that's two nice wee cheap, easy and quite satisfying to make terrain features there. So that's pretty cool. I don't often do stuff like that. I don't often make terrain. So, and other than that, I guess it's about it. my creative skills have been stretched to cosplay, believe it or not, recently, because I've got the Thundercats box set, like the DVDs. My wife got me them years and years ago, like over 10 years ago. And I showed them to my daughter, who's four. I thought she'd, like, she watches She-Ra, the Princess of Power She-Ra, so it's like, you know, it's made in the 2020s. It's still pretty good, like, but she watches that, so I thought, like, she'd maybe be receptive to the Thundercats, but I didn't expect that she would, like, she seems to be one of the kids that once she gets into something, she goes all in. I suppose that's probably any kid, but we watched, like, the first episode, and she was really in it. She was like, can we watch another one? So, like, three or four episodes later, she was like, suddenly it's her favourite thing, and she loved Wile E. Kit, probably just because that's the wee girl in it. So she was saying, like, could you get me a Wile E. Kit dress-up costume? And I was saying, I don't know, pal, I don't think you can get those. And, you know, if you could, it was probably like 40 years ago, but I had a wee rudimentary look around, and of course it's not the sort of thing you could buy. So me and my wife had just looked up some cheap materials, like a sort of purple long t-shirt and some other like fabrics, and you get the Thundercats badges for pretty cheap, and little belt and that. So anyway, we managed to knock something together, got a red wig and like sprayed a black line down it. So I don't know if she'll be winning any competitions with it, but she's not seen it. She gets home tonight, so we'll show her it then. And I've no doubt she'll be critical of it. She's still at that age where she very much says what she feels without any thought for being tactful, but we've done our best with it. So aye, Thundercats cosplay, not something I thought I'd be working on this month, but add it to my list anyway. Oh, and by the way, if you're interested in looking at photos of anything that I've mentioned in my update, then I just put a big post on the site with all the various pictures. You'll find that at bedroombattlefields.com/September. So you'll see everything on there, from the 15mm guys to the Shroom Forests. I've even got the Thundercats cosplay costume up there as well. So bedroombattlefields.com/September is where you'll find it, and I'll of course put a link in the show notes as well, so you can grab that wherever you're listening. But aye, that really is it now from me. So bit of a lengthy update, I think, but I'm away on holiday, so I won't be getting much done over the next couple of weeks. I'm going away next week, so I'd expect not to be reporting in with very much at the end of October, but nevertheless, I hope you're able to. So if you've enjoyed this episode, if you feel motivated after listening to all those great clips, then be sure to get involved for our October into November episodes. You could send in your clip any point in the month by going to bedroombattlefields.com/voicemail, and I look forward to hearing what you're up to, basically. Alright, that is just about it for this episode of the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk again on the next one. Oh, hang on, one more clip. Don't recognise the name. Let's see what this is.
Hello, it is Dan Adam here. Hello, Matthew and associated Matthew listeners. I hope that you all having a great time. I'm here to tell you about what I'm painting, what we're painting. I'm interested to hear what you guys are painting too. So I'm definitely not painting A Song of Ice and Fire right now. I think the English-speaking world and their butlers and gardeners know that I have been painting A Song of Ice and Fire, but I'm definitely not painting that at the moment. I'm definitely not painting House Greyjoy. Definitely not painting some drowned men who are a bunch of guys who aren't particularly great at fighting. They get actually drowned. If you don't know about the Game of Thrones world, they kind of actually get taken out to sea and drowned until they breathe in all the water, and then they drag them back to the beach. And if they wake up, then yay, you get to go to war. if you don't wake up, oh dear, try next time. So they're not particularly great at fighting, but they are good at kind of warbling and moaning in the background and inspiring other Greyjoy forces to higher feats of pillaging and excess. So I'm definitely not painting those, definitely not painting sea greens and sea blues, definitely not painting some seaweed. Definitely not what I am painting, though, which may surprise you. I've been keeping this a secret just so Matthew doesn't get embarrassed, but now feels like the time to do it. I'm actually painting Matthew in an oil painting. So I decided to paint Matthew through the medium of canvas and oil paint. And he is standing in a big field of heather. He's got his hands on his hips, a big smile on his face, and he's got one foot kind of perched on a rock or a boulder. He's wearing a Tam O'Shanter hat with little bits of ginger hair coming down the side. He's wearing a big white vest, tight-fitting white vest that says Scottish Referendum. And he's got his kilt on, which is really, really good. But what's interesting about the painting is not necessarily, you know, Matthew in a field of heather with, you know, foot on a boulder, et cetera, et cetera. It's that I actually decided to paint it not using my hands. So I decided to use like a Monet type style because I wasn't using my hands, you know, so Monet's like more kind of blobs and smears as opposed to actual traditional painting methods. So yeah, I sometimes put the brush on my mouth like this and kind of did some swatch like that. I kind of put it between my elbows, the paintbrush between my elbows at other points, which is good. I put it between my feet, you know, either between two toes on one foot or between both of my feet. I did that sometimes. And the best one, the best one is I actually put it between my butt cheeks. So not sticking out horizontally, how you might maybe think that you'd put a paintbrush between your butt cheeks. I put like the paintbrush head pointing down. So when I was doing the heather, especially, I would kind of squat over the painting canvas and kind of like just dab on the blobs of the heads of heather. So there you go. Not painting the Song of Ice and Fire, actually painting Matthew. So yeah, happy painting, everybody.